Well, good morning and welcome to our service this morning. Special welcome to any who are visiting with us. After the service, as always, well, not quite as always, but you are invited to come through to the church hall if you wish for a cup of tea or coffee, but that's all you'll get. We've been advised that we shouldn't be serving food from open plates, so you'll get a hot drink, but nothing to nibble on, I'm afraid. And another change that we've been advised to make is that we will not be passing the plates round to collect the offering. I think quite a number of you have seen that the plates were at the back of the church as you came in. If you missed that, they'll still be there as you go out if you haven't had the chance to put your offering in. But the dedication of the offering will happen as normal, except that the plates will not be brought forward. Notices are on the sheet. Just a couple of things to add. First of all, just for the elders, a reminder that the Kirk session meets on Wednesday at 7 o'clock, but we will be meeting not in St. Margaret's Hall, but here in our own church hall. And then a fortnight today, which is the 29th, thank you, okay, after the morning service, immediately after the morning service, we'll be holding our stated annual meeting. So just to give due notice of that. And finally, one last intimation I've been given is that Murray West Guilds Together AGM tomorrow at Belly Church Hall has been cancelled. So if any of the ladies were going to go to that, you've got an evening at home instead. Thank you. Yes, indeed, sorry. Thank you, Jude. Most of you, I think, will know, but not everybody, that Rosemary Merson died on Friday morning. Now, June has been in touch with her niece, Carol, and Carol would like, if people have memories, particular memories of Rosemary, or perhaps photographs of Rosemary, she would like to have these as the service is being prepared. So if you have anything you would like to say about Rosemary, just a sentence or two, if you could write it down and give it to June today, please, because I think June wants to get the information and things passed on to Carol for tomorrow. I don't think we know yet when the funeral is going to be, but that will be in the press, I guess, in due time. So thanks for reminding me, June. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks.
Good morning. It is good to be with you, although, yes. I think almost all of you know that I was called to Liberton Northfield Parish Church down in Edinburgh last Sunday. And, I thought it was something quite private, and then the news got out very quickly, as it usually does. I would like to thank you, and I'll do it at a later stage. I want to thank you for your prayers during this year. I want to thank you for the goodness and your open-heartedness and warm welcoming to be here with you in Lambright and Urquhart. I couldn't ask for a better placement. Thank you very much for it. Yes, thank you. It was not an easy choice. In the end, I must be honest, one makes a choice yourself. But it was a wonderful time with you. The consideration was not necessarily against you. It was about also being my age, thinking of social isolation a bit. Am I honest with you this morning? And yes, I trust the Lord that he will also set the ministry going ahead and using me, although in Edinburgh, luckily you have free accommodation now. just phone me in advance. But thank you very much. Thank you for a wonderful year. Thank you for the Kirk session, Alistair. Thank you for Anne as our interim moderator, for every friend I've made. It was only 14 months I've been with you, but it was a magnificent 14 months. It feels like 5 years, not in a bad sense, in a good sense. Thank you very much. And no, I'm praying for you. I'm not just saying it. I'm very fond of you. You recall 2 months, 3 months ago on that pulpit, I said, I've grown very fond of you and I've began to love you. I mean it from my heart as a friend unto you. Thank you very, very much. Pray for me and I'll pray for you. But we'll say our goodbyes on a different stage again. Thank you. Ask you to join me in our call to worship as we find it on the bulletin. The first line which I read, the dust that shapes our journey or the journey, reminds us that we are followers of Jesus Christ as the disciples did in the olden days, walking, reflecting the dust or having the dust on us, following Jesus' footsteps. Please join me in the call to worship. The dust that shapes the journey, the cross that guides it, the color that surrounds it, the light that fades through it, the word that foretells it, the wilderness that invites it. This is Lent, and into its wilderness God calls us. Come, brothers and sisters, Christ is heading for Jerusalem. Let us follow him. Amen. This morning our focus is on water, and in John 4, Jesus Christ telling the Samaritan woman, I am the living water, and therefore our hymns and our scriptures this morning is focused on water and seeking God. Our first hymn, As the Deer Pants for the Water, let's sing this as a prayer unto God.
Thank you.
This morning I would like to extend our prayers and then focus on our situation, and not only ours, those in different countries that are faced with challenges and the virus currently, and therefore focusing on different texts of the Bible as part of our prayer. I ask you to join me with it and in with prayer, and when I read some of the Bible text as part of the prayers, ancient prayers from the Psalms, you I invite you to do it with me in your thoughts, although you don't have the text in front of you. Let us pray. Almighty God, amidst our situation, we rejoice in your protection, joining with the ancient praise of all your people, and therefore with the words of the psalmist of Psalm 46, confessing and proclaiming this morning, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. The nations are in chaos and their kingdoms crumble. God's voice thunders and the earth melts. The Lord of heaven's armies is here amongst us. The God of Israel is our fortress. We join together to pray these verses from the Bible in response to the global coronavirus crisis. Lord Jesus Christ, we ask you to protect us from the spread of the coronavirus. This is a request. You are powerful and merciful, and let this be our prayer. Psalm 57, verse 1. Have mercy on me, my God, have mercy on me, for in you I take refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. Lord of peace, we remember those living in coronavirus hotspots and those currently in isolation. May they know your presence in their isolation, your peace in their turmoil, and your patience in their waiting. Prince of Peace, you are powerful and merciful. Let this be their prayer. Psalm 79. May your mercy come quickly to meet us, for we are in desperate need. Help us, God our Savior, for the glory of your name. God of all comfort and counsel, we pray for those who are grieving, reeling from the sudden loss of loved ones. May they find your fellowship in their suffering, your comfort in their loss, and your hope in their despair. We name before you those known to us who are vulnerable and are scared, the frail, the sick, and the elderly. God of all comfort, you are powerful and merciful. May this be our prayer. 1 Corinthians 1. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. God who heals, we pray for all medical professionals who are daily dealing with the intense pressures of this crisis. Grant them resilience in weariness, discernment, and compassion upon compassion as they care for others. We thank you for the army of researchers working steadily and quietly towards a cure. Give them clarity and unexpected breakthroughs. Would you rise above this present darkness as the Sun of Righteousness with your healing all around us? May this be our prayer, Jeremiah 32. Sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. God of all wisdom, we pray for the World Health Organization, national governments, heads of schools, hospitals, and so many other institutions. Since you have positioned these people in public service for this hour, we ask you to grant them wisdom beyond their own wisdom as to how to contain this virus, faith beyond their own faith to fight this fear, and strength beyond their own strength to support institutions and people in their care and in this time of turmoil. God of all wisdom and counsel, you are powerful and merciful. And this is our prayer as we've started it out. God, you are our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. We pray the blessing of Psalm 91. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Lord, answer us. You are the righteous God. Give us relief from our distress and have mercy on us and hear us when we pray. Psalm 4. Lord God Almighty, who loves us, you've heard our prayers. You've heard our prayers for protection, for wisdom. Jesus Christ, you've died for us. Therefore, we ask of you to protect us through your blood. And although death may knock on some doors, that death does not have the final say. Therefore, we close with 2 Timothy 4. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you for that amen. I knew it had to come. May this be a prayer that we continue praying throughout the week for each other, for government, for our friends, for people in different countries. But we can still sing the praises of God, and we do so with the second hymn, CH4172, Sing for God's Glory.
Thank you. best to go just now, I've got a scary voice. Bye. Bye. My Facebook went ping this morning, and I think it said Helen Barnes' birthday. Is that right? Is that right, Helen? Yes. I did mention it to someone in Connect, and they said, I thought it was Helen's birthday in July. And I said, well, that's royalty for you. My birthday's September the 9th. And I'm due to be flying out to Oberammergau for the the celebration of Jesus' life, but also in remembrance of Jesus' death. And I don't know what the situation will be at that time. Hopefully things will have cleared up. But I'm flying out from Edinburgh Airport, so if anyone knows anyone who can provide me with a bed overnight, then I might take up that opportunity. Let us hear the word of God. First, from Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 to 7. Exodus chapter 17, and starting from the first verse. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Go out in front of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the place Massah and Meribah. Because the Israelites quarreled, and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" And John chapter 4, verse 5 to 26. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, am he. Amen.
What are you thirsty for these days? What's happening in your life? And do you recognize that you might have some sort of a thirst? Not a literal drink of water, but something else you're looking forward or onto into your life. If we have a look at the two passages, which is part of the Lent readings for today in the church over the world, in the first passage of Exodus 17, we see three different parties in that passage around water and around thirst. And while sitting here, I thought, well, I see time is going to catch up, so let's sum up this sermon, and it won't be less of a sermon. But the three parties I see in this first reading of Exodus 17 is obviously the Israelites, the Jews. And they are facing their situation, and they're trying to get clear answers and solutions. They want water, and they go to Moses, and they blame Moses, and ask him, listen here, it's better for us to be back in Egypt. Where's the water? We want to get out of this situation. In fact, I hear in the same text that they are even willing to stone Moses and get rid of him, if that is the way to go ahead. And I'm asking myself, is this not the old message ringing in their ears? Desperate times ask for desperate measures. And thinking of something like the coronavirus, thinking of different situations around the world, wars, other serious facing issues of illnesses in countries, droughts. We know of Australia and the recent fires going on. And people trying to make plans. And then the second character or the second group in Exodus 17 is obviously Moses himself. Now, Moses reacts differently from the Israelites or the Jews, and Moses is kind of in a passive situation, not doing anything, not addressing the situation. But what does he do? He is praying to God. He's giving the situation to God. And you know, this morning when I led the prayer with us, praying for protection against the coronavirus. Whilst doing the prayer, I was thinking, listen, Ati, there's a lesson to be learned from Exodus 17. We are praying for protection against this virus. But what did Moses do? Did he pray for the water, or did he hand the situation over to God? He handed the situation over to God, regardless of the crisis they were facing. And then the third party in Exodus 17 is God himself. You don't see or hear of his intervention in this situation until Moses calls him up or calls him into prayer, please be with us. And then God didn't rebuke them. God didn't say, well, you were in a bad state. You forgot about me. No, God just gave a outcome for this situation. And I think to myself, wow, it's an old text, but it's such an easy text for us as Christians. I don't know what your situation might be, what your thirst might be, what your longing might be, what your worry might be. We can face it. The Israelites asked, is the Lord even here? And then the answer comes, yes, he is, when he provides the water to them. The one situation which I see about longing for something, longing for fulfillment, longing for an outcome. It's a different situation in Exodus 17 than that with the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. When we go to John chapter 4, I think sometimes we've heard some of these passages over and over and over. There's almost nothing new to these passages. But when I think of the Samaritan woman, yes, itself is the word self-explaining. Yes. Self-explanatory, that's the word. The text is self-explanatory. Let's just recap what happened there. There was this old fight from the Old Testament when the Jewish folk were taken away in exile, and then the 10 better tribes, this is only my words, the 10 fancy tribes were taken off and away in exile, and then two of the leftover tribes stayed back home, and that was the Samaritans. Now, for ages and ages and ages, they were fighting against each other, and the better Jews and the better traditions and the better religion against the Samaritans. And we pick up that in the text of John 4, where this is this, not debate, but where this is the conversation between Jesus and this woman saying, listen, where is the correct place to worship? What should we worship? Etc., etc. But what catches me on in the last week of John 4 is we could have different interpretations, the traditional interpretations of this text when Jesus tells it, well, I am the water of life for which you are searching. And when Jesus asks the woman, listen here, where's your husband? And then she tells him, no, I have no husband. Then Jesus says, yes, it's fine, you don't have a husband. Speaking the truth, etc., etc. We know the explanations. Now, if you think back of the Old Testament again, and what you know about this text, it could be said that this woman was creeping to the well, trying to avoid the gossip tongues of the village getting water. So that could be one of the interpretations. But if we think back of the Old Testament, a lot of the Old Testament characters found their wives at wells. You remember that? I think of Rebecca, of Jacob, help me with some of them. Moses' second wife. They were all... When you gather at a well and you're a woman, you're actually playing the dating game. Let's say it. That's it. So she might have gone to the well to get some water. That's fine. But I see something in this text of not quarreling with Jesus, saying, hey, so did you come to get water? Where's your cup? And then she reminds Jesus, what is the function of this well? It's actually to get someone. Now that is a interpretation, it's not the interpretation, the only interpretation. And Jesus tells her, listen, lady, there's something more. I see you are seeking, maybe for a husband or something, whatever. You can fill in the drama in your head and your thoughts. But I want to tell you that I can quench your thirst. I don't know what you're longing for. And maybe she did have 5 husbands, but what I found is that in the book of 1 Kings 17, at the stage of the exile, Samaria was handed five different other tribes to take control of them. And I just want to quote it for you. I hate it when someone says somewhere in the Bible. In 1 Kings 17:24, the king of Assyria brought people from Babylon, Cutha, Arpha, Hamath, and Sepharvaim, and placed them in the cities of Samaria, in the place of the people of Israel. They took possession of Samaria and settled in these cities. So I see these five nations, five husbands, became part of the history of the Samaritans in Samaria. Again, it's not about physical or only about the physical and the literal Samaritan women in this text. It's about a bigger and a greater story that lies in her history. It says something about God being there for the lost or the unfaithful. Even for the mixed breed, he invites them back. She's searching for something at the well, whatever it may be, physical water or a husband or what. But Jesus tells her, listen, lady, I can quench your thirst, the deep longing in your heart. I am your God. How everyone with a history, it tells me, can re-enter into the consciousness of God. How every person with aspects of division within you or your family can find comfort and peace in this kingdom of God. How someone not part of the traditional people of the church can actually be part of God and his kingdom. Not as much the physical Samaritan woman, but representing every person feeling alone, lost, frowned upon, bullied, victimized, discriminated against, and the list goes on. How all can find comfort in the bosom of God. This I hear from a thirsty woman or Jesus' story. It was not only Jesus thirsting for water, she was thirsting for life. And how do we find this living water is the question that she asked Jesus. How do we find this spirit that binds all humanity into the oneness with God? Jesus himself declared it. I, the one speaking to you, I am he. I am. The God of Moses and the Israelites of Exodus 17 searching for physical outcome. I'm the same God that you might be thirsty for something in your heart, a longing, something that words can't describe. And then we know the rest of the story. She finds Jesus as being the true God in her life. I pray this for you for the coming week. I pray this for the future of Salu. I really pray that when you thirst, whether a crisis facing us, whether something in your heart or your thoughts, that you will find the I am in all situations. Amen. Let us pray. God, sometimes we ask, like the folk in Exodus, are you present? And yes, you are as close as our thoughts, our prayers, our words, our conversation, the skin on our flesh. And therefore, you are a holy God. Thank you for your word, life-giving. And before time, you've named us. You knew of us. You created us. Through time, you redeemed us. You called us precious in your sight. Regardless of our searches and our thirsts, may we love as you love. Holy One, through the turbulent waters, make us steady. Your hands holding strong the fragile and the weak, may we love as you love. Gracious God, may the fruits of our lives be food for the hungry, bread, clothing, shelter, fire, water, and word. And may we love as you love. God of justice, remove the chaff of our lives that keep us from hearing, following, and listening to your call. Loving God, take this day and our fears, our worries, distractions, and all. And although we mention it by name, we are praying that you are in control of our lives. Turn those worries and distractions and everything into wheat, into heart and food for others. May we love as you love. We pray this in your name, Jesus Christ, living water. Amen. We are only going to dedicate our offering this morning. As you saw the plates, and as Alistair said, the plates for offering is at the back if you want to put your offering when you exit the door later. Pour your offering in there. But let's, did we have a hymn before that even, Evelyn, a new hymn? Yes, that one, sorry. Before we dedicate our offering, there's a new hymn which we knew back home. Just give me an F sharp. Is that the first note? Oh, D. So it's an easy hymn. It's a prayer. Let your living waters flow over my soul. Let your Holy Spirit come and take control of every situation that has troubled my mind. All my cares and burdens unto you I roll. Nothing strange, it's just a... And then the chorus or the refrain is, Jesus, 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 sing to the Father, same Father, 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 Holy Spirit. All right? I'll just play it once through the verse and one part of the chorus, and then we sing this as a prayer. Let the Holy Spirit and Jesus and God the Father flow over us as living water. Thank you. can take our seats and then we can sing the dedication of offering as a prayer.
Inevitably, there'll be some overlapping in the prayers this morning, since certain things are very much in our minds. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in this time of challenges and changes, we ask you to hear our prayers for others, for ourselves, and for your church. We bring before you all who have lost family or friends to illness. We ask that your Spirit gives them comfort in their grief. At this difficult time, we ask you to bless and support all who are trying to mitigate the effects of the coronavirus. We think of doctors and nurses, of the care workers, of the scientists and the laboratory technicians, and those who are coordinating the efforts. We pray for all those whose lives and livelihoods are being adversely affected at this time. We think of people who work in cafes and restaurants, in the tourist industry, and in transport. We remember today, Lord, the distressed peoples of the world, especially the refugees. We remember the bereaved families of all the nations involved in conflict. We remember before you the needs of the exploited, the hungry, and the despairing throughout the world. May we all work to find new and better ways of bringing love, justice, and aid to wherever there is need. We ask you, Lord, to bless all young people and guide them to use their growing powers wisely. May nothing that we say or do cause them to stumble. Protect them and help us to defend them from cruel and selfish exploitation. May they and we discover together your purpose for our world. We ask you, Father, to bless and support your church in this time of change. We ask you to bless your servant, Atty. We ask you, too, to bless and support our elders and office bearers and all who serve your son's church. Help us to see our way forward in your great work. And we ask you to hear us, Heavenly Father, as in the silence of our hearts, we pray for people who have asked for our prayers. We pray for people we know who need our prayers. And we pray too for those people who are especially dear to us. In your time, Father, bring all your people into a unity of love and faith so that the world may know your glory and your blessing. And we ask all this in the name of our Lord and Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
I want to ask you, did the text make sense to you this morning? Did the sermon make sense to you? The water and the... Don't answer me now. Answer me later. But it is quite interesting because we are in Lent. We are in this journey of desert, seeking God and thinking of Jesus Christ and being the living water for us. May he really bless us. Our closing hymn is All My Hope on God is Founded. And let's sing this as a confession and as a prayer.
Thank you.
sign interpreters I saw from the Episcopal Church last night said, if we want to greet, there's different ways, but this would be, peace be with you. So it's very easy. It's like a big smile. Peace be with you. Yes. Go now from this service of worship to the service of God's people near and far. Refreshed by the living water that Jesus offers you, listen for the parched voices of the least of these. Search out the dry places and the arid souls, and become for them a spring of living water. And as you go, may the blessing of our God of life, of Christ and his love, and the Spirit of grace be upon you this day and evermore. Amen.